Maria Therlefwine. I'm Second Lieutenant Dewan Haley. May has been recognized as Mental Health Awareness Month. Since 9/11, more than 30,000 service members or veterans have committed suicide, which is more than four times that of those who were killed in combat over the same period. According to the DOD Suicide Prevention Office, in 2023, there were 92 suspected or confirmed suicides just in the National Guard, which brings the total to over 400 guardsmen since the start of COVID, not counting the first quarter of 2024, which hasn't been released yet. Today, I'm joined by Brianna Baker-Meckley, the 130th Airlift Wing's new DPH, or Director of Psychological Health, Captain Brittany Hypes, a critical care nurse, and the 130th Airlift Wing's surf, with the 130th Airlift Wing's SURF P, and for the past year has served as the Suicide Prevention Program Coordinator for the unit, and First Lieutenant Sammy Brown, the Director of PA for the West Virginia Air National Guard, to have a conversation about the topic of mental health and suicide. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Let's do this, LT.
Very excited to be here.
So, Brianna, I want to start with you. Can you just provide an overview of your professional background and your experience in mental health?
Sure, absolutely. I began my career in social work in 2011, so that probably shows my age a little bit. And I started that career with Child Protective Services. I worked there for about 6 years, and I then decided in doing that role that social work was my passion, and that I truly cared about people and wanting to work alongside them during times of need. So I decided to go back to school for my master's. And after I completed my master's in 2019, I then began practicing as a therapist in 2020. And during that time, since then, I have worked alongside of people who struggle with mental health issues such as depression, anxiety, bipolar, schizophrenia, substance use disorder, and childhood and adult trauma, PTSD, et cetera. The list goes on.
So what are some symptoms, and this is a question for everybody. I know we all have been around people who have gone through depression and things like that. So what are some symptoms that you've seen that some people may think go unnoticed about mental health that probably need to be addressed?
I think a big one for me is that the preconceived notion is that you are automatically going to pick up on folks being despondent or sad. And what I've learned in the past couple of years is that it could actually be a drastic shift in your regular tone or regular mood, period. So what I mean by that is an individual that has maybe made a plan or has really deeply considered how they want to commit the act, if you will, can actually become very peaceful and happy.
Absolutely.
And so, like, we're thinking, oh, this is like a resurgence, everything's okay. But in reality, there's, for that individual, there is a sense of peace. Absolutely. That comes with the conclusion because they have planned these things out, because they've planned what they wanted to say, because they've given things away, for instance, to people they care about. It's unnerving for the individual that is closest to that person. And I've seen this over and over again in the way that we ultimately talk about mental health and this particular portion of mental health. They're like, I just don't understand. They were so happy. But in reality, this is part of the human condition. They had been carrying this weight and this burden for so long, and then all of a sudden they had this peace. And so, like, what I've really seen and what was a real not only call to action but an educated moment for myself, and then ultimately, like, teaching others how to speak to this in our career field and throughout the military community, period, is that it does not look like the stereotype sometimes, and then that's something that we ultimately have to come to terms with, come to grips with.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, when you're talking about that peace and things, unfortunately, it's because they know their pain is going to end. Mm-hmm. You know, in talking to clients in the past who have had an attempt, you know, they will tell me straight up, like, I did not want to commit suicide. I did not want to die.
Right.
I just wanted the pain to stop.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that, and ladies, tell me if you're seeing something very different, but like particularly in this community, in this career field, when you engage in the military and you join up, a lot of the motivation is that sense of service, right? And giving to other people. And then finally you have this one act, you're like, oh, I can give this to myself.
Yeah.
And while we may not be able to conceive that initially, it's something that we really have to put ourselves in the headspace of that other individual, of that other person, where they give and give and give, and they're exhausted, they're tired, they're in pain. And this is the way that finally it all can come to a close for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think that that's great. I think that we're kind of set apart anyway, right? Like mm-hmm. as a 1% of the population. But just going back, I mean, like right now you guys are talking about a worst case scenario and actually trying to commit suicide or, you know, being able to be successful in that, if that's what we would call it.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I think that we're missing, which is what I've been trying to, you know, I say when you're coming to my class, come with a growth mindset.
Yeah.
And sit in here and know that you're going to take away something that's either going to help you or help somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody's really good at the late signs. Yeah. We're all good. We all know what exactly we're supposed to do when there's those late signs.
Right.
Right. And we recognize that. So part of us serving, right, like you were saying, I think it kind of comes full circle because the fact of the matter is that we can't serve anybody, right? Not our state, not our country, not the nation, not in a deployment, not in a TDY, not in our own unit or squadron, if we're not taking care of ourselves. And see, we forget to do that for a long time. And then it catches up with you, right? And so Dewan mentioned just at the beginning about like depression or just anxiety, all these things that are happening that are like the low key. We're not like at the worst case scenario,
mm-hmm.
right? But we're starting to notice that things are changing within us. And so how do I notice that about other people, right? And how do we miss the small stuff, right? That's what we're saying. Because we're not connected,
right?
Right? And so we say that we're connected, but are you truly connected? It's very hard once a month, especially as guardsmen, you know? And Dewan shared about 500 people last year in the Guard alone committed suicide or were successful, right, with that. And to me, that's sad. And maybe, you know, when you're talking about numbers and me as a critical care nurse, I'm thinking about all the traumas that mm-hmm. I dealt with, like, in the summers, you know what I mean? And that's easily 500 people, right?
Absolutely.
But can we stop this? Yeah, absolutely. So how do we do that? I think for me, the point where you start seeing somebody kind of isolate themselves or just not be themselves, or you notice there's just a little bit of a change, it's okay to talk to somebody, mm-hmm. right? And so I'm even doing stuff with like pilots who are in training, and we're doing like some online virtual trainings with them. So one, yeah, we got to get our box checked off, but I think we have to get out of that mindset of, I'm checking off a box, I'm going to go to suicide prevention training.
Sure.
I'm going to go to SAPR training, check off the box, right? Like go there with the expectation that I'm going to learn something,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be able to connect with somebody, because that's what we need. Like as human beings, we need those connections.
Yeah.
If we don't have those connections, there's never going to be a change in any statistic that you're going to throw out there. Mm-hmm.
I really love that too, Captain Hypes, where you, I've actually seen you give this presentation, but it's doubling down on that notion of connectivity and community. And then one of the things that I've heard you reiterate over and over again is being able to authentically connect with someone. So you're able to pick up on that despondency or that withdrawal, yeah. because you actually know the guardsman that you're working with, the individual that you're working with. And so it's not just like a surface level conversation, but instead like really investing in the people that you are surrounded with, even if it is for those 48 hours that we get during drill weekend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Create the ripple effect.
For sure.
Right?
Absolutely.
So I can't talk to 800 people. And Brianna, I'm so glad that you're here.
Mm-hmm.
I am ecstatic that we have a DPH.
I was there. You did wonderful. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's just, I mean, that's just like one piece of it. But I'm super excited to have psychological health like back here at the 130th Airlift Wing. And that's what it was about for me, was like, if you can create a ripple effect, you know, like if the four of us in this room can really care about each other, right? And then us go out and collectively, like, okay, we all care about each other in this room, and then drop that, you know, like little pebble in that pond and create that ripple of those four turn into 16 and then into 32, right? And then into 64. Like, just keep continuing to do that, because you cannot connect with all of your people.
Sure.
Right? Right? So that's really hard. But I think that's where we pick up on the early stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that he's asking about.
Well, and I think, too, like, if one is an individual who is maybe starting their understanding of their own mental health journey, maybe themselves recognizing a little bit of changes in a negative way to their life. I going back to those, to the question of signs and things, I think that, and this is something that I work on every day, I think that a lot of times we often lack our self-awareness of our feelings and absolutely how those feelings can create physical symptoms. So, you know, if I'm experiencing anxiety, then, you know, it's more than like I'm worried, right? My heart's racing. I can't sit still. I might be like picking at my fingers. I might be agitated. I might get a headache. My stomach might hurt. Like, there's so many physical symptoms that we can work to recognize in trying to create that self-awareness. And, you know, I think about it like this, like emotional understanding and emotional regulation is a skill that we have to learn. Right. Like, we're not born with just the understanding of how to deal with all of our emotions.
Yeah.
I look at it like reading, learning to read.
Mm-hmm.
So skills are taught. So if nobody taught us how to read, how well would we do at it? And the same applies for emotional regulation. And I don't know about you all, but telling my age here, I grew up, I was a kid in the 90s. I'm an 80s baby.
Yes,
girl. Well, we all are.
Pretty sure. We all are. Yeah.
So I don't know about you all, but when I was growing up, like, we didn't talk about feelings.
No.
And I, you know, had the most well-intentioned parents. Like, that's not to, you know, say anything negative. Like, I'm a firm believer that my parents did the very best they could with what they had at that time.
Sure.
And so, but most of us weren't allowed to have feelings mm-hmm. in those days. And we were told to be quiet, to be seen, not heard. Don't cry, or I'll give you something to cry about. You know, I wasn't sat down and asked about my emotional well-being or what made me sad, or taught how to work through my anxiety. Yeah. Nor did anybody notice those physical symptoms.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. That goes back to right. those symptoms. But the signs were there. The signs were there. And that leads to answering the question of the unnoticed symptoms. We do have the subtle physical symptoms that show we are experiencing mental health symptoms. And again, those, I went over those subtle health changes, but there can also be behavioral changes.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that goes back to like what you all are talking about with noticing in yourself or others, like an increased use of alcohol, increased agitation, mood swings, becoming impulsive, inability to perform daily tasks, maybe a lack of motivation, possible decrease in hygiene,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Isolation, paranoia, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So I know with me, one thing that I don't think that the symptoms are the same for everybody.
Absolutely.
Right.
And a lot of times, especially when you're in those positions of you're having like the depressive thoughts and things like that, one of the things that you do is you isolate yourself.
Right.
Like you want to tell people, but you're just like, you know, do they even care
mm-hmm. if right.
what I'm going through?
Right.
Or do they even like, you know, if I called them at midnight or something like that, would they be there for me?
Sure.
You know, you always feel like you're just alone and just, like, out there. And I think what we should do as a people, and, you know, I'm first, is to try to get to know each other
right.
more and more and more. And I know we're only here for 1 week in a month sometimes, even less. But checking on your troops,
yeah,
for you know, sure. throughout the month.
Absolutely.
I feel like just like a once a week text or something like that, saying, "Are you good? What's going on? You know, do you need help with anything or anything like that?" I think it's really, really helpful. And
Agreed.
Because there's a saying that no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care.
Wow.
So true.
That's powerful. Yeah. That's really powerful.
So, like, if you can be the smartest person in the world, but if I don't think that you care about my true well-being, I would just put on a facade for you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And just go on with it and, you know, have the issues that I have.
Yeah.
And I think that it's really important to get into the micro of a person.
Agreed. I wish this was like videotaped so you could see like how passionate the four of us are about this particular topic. And Dawan, I think that's I really love that we broached this because like we might go off script here for a second, but like not just the connectivity, but something that I know you and I have spoke about directly is like how we're talking about mental health and our folks are actually equipped to have these conversations in a way that shows empathy and compassion. And I'm really interested, especially because we have SMEs in the room, right? Like how would you have that conversation? What kind of language would you use? And how would you show that compassion for someone else? And then also knowing that within this community that we're in, are we actually articulating mental health and these topics the way that we should in order to be like really educated and show that we're educated, but also be able to make those like true connections and show compassion in that connectivity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It just has to do with those connections. You know what I mean? And it's so funny because you're like, well, how do you approach it? There's not a right way.
Yeah.
You don't write a book on this and say, oh, this is what I do. You're connected with people. You have an understanding of what they're going through because you have those connections. You know when something's a little bit off. We're not saying it's the worst case scenario every time. Like, it doesn't mean that they're depressed at that moment or they're suffering from anxiety at that moment or that they're thinking about committing suicide at that moment. It's the smaller things. It's the things that you realize, man, would I be stressed out? For example, I had to take my kid to the hospital on Monday for dehydration, and heat exhaustion.
Oh, no.
Okay, so that's the 15-year-old there. But then we just got a report. Kylie broke her elbow. We have to go to Cincinnati Children's for some other things that are going on. Not sure about what's going on. Does that stuff stress me out? Yes. Here's the thing. Everybody that works with me on the full-time basis, they know that that's stuff that could just easily push people over the edge because, you have all the other things going on in life still.
Yeah. Right.
Nothing else stopped. Right? The bills didn't stop coming in, didn't have to stop picking up, didn't have to stop doing homework, didn't have to stop cooking dinner or doing laundry or working your full-time job or helping out with this. Right? All of these things still kept going. And then on top of it, you were piled. So when they're checking on me, hey, what do you need today? Can I just do something for you just today? Because they don't even have to say, because I realize I'd be a little stressed out if this was going on, right? Yeah. So it's just having like those small connections and realizing that it's okay to not be okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, it is okay to have a bad day and to not be okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And even the VA that's close here over at Southridge, they're treating mental health right now as acute. For instance, it was so mind-boggling to me when I went over there. If I'm sick, most of us don't go to the doctor because we're adults, right? Mm-hmm. But if our kids are sick, we take them to the pediatrician. So we go to the pediatrician because, you know, Susie's had a fever for 3 days. I can't get it down. I don't.
And she needs a school
on.
Excuse because they have to have that.
Yeah. Right. Or you'll go to jail.
So you go and you take them. That's what they're doing at even the VA clinics and even other civilian capacities around here. This is okay to just have a bad day or to have a bad month or a bad week and just go talk to somebody, even if it's a venting session and say, I don't know what to do. Like, I want to throw my hands up in the air. I want to scream into my pillow, whatever it is. It can be acute. Like these mental health things, it doesn't have to be something that accumulates over time. It can just be an acute thing that's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's happening that's causing you a state of distress in your life, go and talk.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. It's just, hey, I need to get on the schedule. I got to come talk to somebody like this week. Like, if for no other reason, right? Like just to get it off my chest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I know that we're talking about signs in other people, but I do think, and it's important that we talk about signs within ourselves.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that we all, at some point in time, can be susceptible to
Absolutely.
Those feelings and to those thoughts and things like that. So yes, we're in a way we're trying to take the burdens of others, but we also need to realize the burden in ourselves. Absolutely. That we have the issue and that we have to ourselves reach out for help. And a lot of times that's hard because of pride. And, you know, like I said, we're all kids of the 90s. So we were all raised by baby boomers. And in that time, baby boomers did not value health professionals, I guess.
Sure.
In a way.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe didn't know and understand.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, because I think some of that too can come from our culture.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I come, you know, my family, like they don't trust doctors. They don't trust. They just want your money. You know.
Yeah.
That's
I've heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. That's definitely a cultural norm.
Yeah.
And they're kind of like, okay, figure it out yourself, because I did.
Yes.
Right? Like, this is what I know, so I'm going to teach you the tools that I knew how to cope.
Right.
And so this is what I know in order to educate you, my offspring, to take care of yourself. So if I did it, this is how you can do it. And a lot of that, too, for not just those of us in the room, but, you know, out there listening, we're gonna have to break some cycles.
Absolutely.
Right? It's gonna get a little uncomfortable. Right. It's gonna get a little radical, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But, being able to again, like, really normalize looking at like some of the you know, the acute at the acute level, if you will, really begins to break that cycle and break some of those norms that we've been accustomed to, and then hopefully our kids and our kids' kids can perpetuate this very different culture, right?
Yeah. And I think that anybody that's a parent, when you talk about break those cycles, I think that anybody as a parent, like when we think about our kids, like are we just love them and we just want them to have happy, safe, healthy lives and grow up and be wonderful, productive members of society. And, you know, I hate to sound cliche with what I'm about to say, but like it starts with you. Mm-hmm. And so going back to what Dawan said about recognizing our own stuff.
Yeah.
That's where we start with breaking those cycles.
Mm-hmm.
We work on ourselves and get rid of those norms where we don't understand our feelings. Like we develop that self-awareness. We learn those coping skills. We learn to walk away when our kids frustrate us, because I don't know about y'all, but they can.
Yeah.
And, you know, we learn to pause and process before we finish that. We let them have feelings.
Mm-hmm.
We learn that because we have feelings that we're learning.
Yeah.
We learn that, guess what, they do too.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
It's a big one. And it's a hard one, because we want to be like, I don't have time. You know, just be quiet and just please do what you're told, right? But at the end of the day, they're people who have feelings too. And again, you know, going back to just us as individuals, we have to put that work in ourselves and be proactive with recognizing those patterns. Because there's a million things I could say about my childhood that were wonderful that my parents taught me.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of those wonderful things is the reason I sit here today in this position. They taught me to work hard and believe in myself.
Yes.
Right. But that does, two things can exist at the same time.
Absolutely.
And that can be that I had wonderful, wonderful parents with very good intentions who also struggled with their own things and didn't have those skills to teach me.
Mm-hmm. If you put that in a leadership scope too, so we, each of us have a charge, right? Each of us have folks that that we are responsible for, that we mentor and hopefully are training up through the ranks, right? But also, we've had mentors. We've also had leaders that were amazing, and some that maybe we weren't so
we
much.
Learned from?
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, yeah, there you go. We learned
from that.
That's a
good way to look at it.
We learned from that.
Every experience is a lesson.
Thank you, ma'am. And so when we think about that, oh, actually, that was a perfect frame up, because that's exactly where I was going with this, is that we've taken some of those experiences and realized that how we did not want to project onto the folks that we touch on a regular basis, and then also like how we want to change the vibe of the space that we lead and hopefully like grow in. So that is how we also shift the culture here in the Guard, in the West Virginia Air National Guard in particular, because like now we've taken these experiences, like whether lived or within our career trajectory, and realized that like this is very much something that we're passionate about integrating into how we work and how we function, and putting it at the forefront, I think ultimately makes us better troops, but also better leaders, and we're creating leaders too.
Yeah.
Very well said.
Ooh, thank you. Yeah.
Welcome. Thank you. So organic. Yeah. Love it.
I guess kind of leading into that, especially in the military, I feel like there is a stigma about mental health and suicide that it will affect your career. And I can go into a story later about my own personal story, I guess, with that. Mm-hmm. How do you think that we challenge that notion of, if I'm going through like depression, anxiety, mm-hmm. or things like that, and I tell somebody that it's going to like end my career, mm-hmm. how do you think we go through?
Can I start?
I definitely think the service members need to speak first about that.
Yeah.
Well, so one thing is that we're talking about getting rid of stigmas, but I think here's the place to start. The Air National Guard, whether you're in West Virginia or any other state, is complex. And by that, I mean, I'm going through medical records, and there was a birthday from 2005 and 2006, and I was like, wait, is that? Yeah, that's right. And then I was like, wait, but my birthday, right? So you have so many generations, yeah. right, mm-hmm. that are serving at the same time. And so, just as we start, like, that class and we're doing an annual training, it has to start with respect. You have to understand where other people could potentially be coming from, right? But I have to get out of my own head and my own way of doing things,
right?
And I have to understand that, hey, this fresh 18-year-old who just signed on with the West Virginia Air National Guard does not have the same, right, likes, dislikes, interests,
right.
The way that I think is not how he thinks. The way that I think is not how she thinks, right? And so they haven't been through life enough to have all these things that you say, oh, well, let me take myself back to 18-year-old Brittany, right? If I was 18 years old, man, it would be so nice to have the knowledge that I have in my 40s.
Sure.
Oh, man, yeah. If you could just take that back, right? Like, you'd be like, man, I'd be someplace. But we don't have that. So you have to respect people for who they are and for where they are in life, mm-hmm. right? That 18-year-old is not in the same place as, let's say, a chief who's in his 50s.
Right.
We're leaps and bounds across from each other, mm-hmm. right? And then everybody in that continuum from their 20s and 30s and 40s, right? And even people who are reaching up to their 60s. So you've lived more life, you've had more experience, right? And you've done and coped and dealt with things differently
than
the generations
absolutely.
Have, right? Mm-hmm. So I think we understand that first. Secondly, Colonel Chart even shared some of his story and has continued to, he'll drop in some of the classes and just share his personal story, right? Knowing that other people who are in leadership positions, right, or who just might be your best friend have just sought help,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Have just been not okay
yeah.
and have been transparent enough to share that
mm-hmm. yeah.
will give everybody that.
Yes.
Take a breath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? I could take a breath. And, like, today, I'm just going to deal with today.
Right.
I'm just going to deal with what's going on in my life this week or this month or this year. Or if it's been a real bad year or a real bad month, it is okay, right, to just be transparent. See, what happens is when you're transparent, then everybody else feels like, oh, I can, like, take pride off my shoulder,
mm-hmm.
right? I can show up differently. I could just be myself, right? Mm-hmm. And you're taking these chips that you've built on your shoulders, right, to try to maintain this strong.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And to know you're still valued.
To know, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's huge.
Doesn't devalue, though, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what we have to realize, too. So segue into you, though. I mean, what are your thoughts about that?
When I think about it, the state of West Virginia in general, so, like, when we more so than I think any other branch in the military are so rooted in our community, right? Like, our local community and the individuals that come from this state, there is a sense of pride when you come and serve in the place that raised you, right? So that's kind of like the value of the Guard, is being a hometown hero in a lot of ways. What's interesting about the state of West Virginia, though, is that, like, many of us are coming from poverty, and there is a lot of generational trauma, poverty, sickness, and it is the way that we found our way out is
yes, ma'am.
And we're going to do it through the military, and it's the way that like we create lives for ourselves. And I certainly don't want to speak for anyone else in the room, but I know that that's exactly what I did, yeah. Which is I had nothing, right? I definitely know what it feels like to live out of your car, right? Mm-hmm. To have a negative balance in your checking account, yeah. And still, like what's keeping you motivated is I know. I can be something better. And I share that because I know that that's not a unique experience at all whatsoever. And there's so many of us that have, you know, come out of homes of abuse or addiction or whatever the case may be. And this is where you get to recreate yourself. Yeah. And knowing that there are individuals from all walks of life, right? Good, bad, or indifferent that come here and there. And the commonality is this uniform. And I think that being able to respect that regardless of age, right, regardless of generation, and knowing that that's their lived experience, but also a valuable experience, mm-hmm. of resilience and perseverance, mm-hmm. that makes you, am I allowed to cuss on this thing? I won't cuss.
No.
I won't. That makes you amazing. Yeah. There we go.
He says and no.
Yeah. That makes you amazing. Also, like, very much adds to this, You add value. You being here, mm-hmm. is valuable. You don't have to show up as anything else than what you are.
Right.
Makes you an incredible asset to this unit, to the guard. And I think that that's something that like I very much keep at top of mind, not just for myself, but like just trying to share that with others, and adding into this conversation now, right now.
Yeah,
that was really well said.
Oh, thank you.
Both of you. I mean, that was just, you guys, I appreciate, you know, you guys are teaching me, and I think that's a really important part of this conversation.
Thank you.
And I really like what you said about it showing strength and resilience. You know, I think that vulnerability, mm-hmm. is considered weak. It's considered, ooh, weak. Mm-hmm. But think about it, like, how much strength does it take to be vulnerable?
Right.
And to share what you're going through.
Right.
How is that weak?
Mm-hmm.
How,
right.
I mean, can, if anybody has a different opinion of that, yeah. please feel free to share. But
so maybe that's how you change the stigma.
Yeah. Like that is strength.
Vulnerable, yeah. right?
It's redefined. So
vulnerable is like, yeah. bodybuilder.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, yeah. I'm benching. What?
Yeah, what do you bench? You don't bench in here.
But yeah, I mean,
to build muscle, you got to break it down
exactly.
before exactly. we build up, right?
Right?
So,
I mean, that's like the superpower. Like, mm-hmm. being able to talk about how you feel. And I'm not saying that it doesn't also take the strength to hold it all inside.
Mm-hmm.
But being able to open up and talk about it and share with somebody and be vulnerable and connect,
yeah.
that is, in my opinion, the true definition of strength.
Mm-hmm.
Courage and strength is being vulnerable.
Right.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And I think, too, that, like, another way to kind of think about coming to see somebody, like maybe the DPH.
Yeah.
You know.
Drop the plug right, right here.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we're here for.
would be like, you know, just... Well, now that we were giggling, I lost my train of thought. I know what I was going to say. So thinking about it in a proactive versus reactive way.
Yeah.
So going back to, again, we were talking about symptoms a little while ago. If I'm noticing some early signs, you know, if I'm noticing maybe I'm drinking a little bit more lately, mm-hmm. if I'm noticing I'm isolating a little mm-hmm. bit more lately, and I seek that, those conversations, those connections with my DPH or a trusted individual, that is how 100% we can keep from there being repercussions, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Okay. Yeah.
Before it gets to a place where, you know, I'm getting a DUI, right?
Right.
Or I need to go to inpatient rehabilitation, mm-hmm. right? If I'm seeking that out in a proactive way, like I'm recognizing that I'm struggling and I'm seeking that out, that can drastically reduce any repercussions that I'm right. that I could potentially go
right.
through, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you all correct me if I'm wrong in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think that's great. Also, what about the person who doesn't want to talk to somebody?
So that's...
There's so yeah. many people, hopefully, that are going to listen to this. What do you do, right? Like, what do you do when yeah. you're like, I'm not going to go see the DPH.
Yeah, and that doesn't make me feel comfortable either.
Yeah, that makes me actually feel really uncomfortable.
Right.
Okay? Yeah. And you guys are saying that being vulnerable is strength.
Yeah.
But I don't believe you.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's how a lot of people are going to think about that. That's okay to think about it like that, but what are some other things that you do? Okay, man, I don't feel like going to the DPH. I don't want to talk to my supervisor. Sammy, I'm having a bad day, and I don't want to talk to you about it, right? So what am I going to do?
Right.
What can I do positively in my life?
Yeah, and
I don't want to talk.
Well, and
there's
that,
a lot of people who don't talk the feelings.
That's true.
Yeah.
And it's like, what are your productive outlets? I guess is really the right way to frame this up, right?
Absolutely.
So like, I tend to ruck it out at the end of the day on super stressful days, right? Because I get it. Sometimes I just do not have the bandwidth to articulate how I'm feeling, or I don't know the right person to go to, or whoever is listening, where you think to yourself, I would, but I feel like a burden, regardless of who that person is.
Yeah.
We get you, we see you, right? We hear you, even though you're not speaking. It's just like kind of finding those productive outlets in which to regulate those highs and lows, I suppose. And I feel like, I'm not even the right, I'm not the expert healthcare individuals. I'm just telling you, kind of where I am as far as, like, lived experiences. But, like, that's a real thing. And also being able to frame it in a way that isn't diminutive and instead empowering, for regardless of where you are in this space, in this journey, is probably our biggest responsibility in this conversation right now.
To empower people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely.
And I've always been taught, no matter what, no matter how much help I might think someone needs, that individual, going back to what you said, Brittany, they're the expert on their life.
Right.
Yeah. And if they don't want to talk, if they're not ready for that, I think continuing to build little connections, maybe, you go to them or doing, checking on them, letting them know that, you care and you're there, right? Because we're all in different stages of our readiness to change, And if somebody is just not there, just meet them where they are.
Right.
Just meet them where they are. And I think, like what you said about, I like to rock out, or I like to go to the gym, or I like to go swimming, or...
Yeah, we have dance parties at my
house. Dance parties.
Yes, dance it
out.
Books.
Yeah.
Thank you, Grey's Anatomy.
But it's so true.
Yeah.
It's so true. And respecting that, too.
Absolutely. I think that's the biggest thing right there, is respecting that they are the expert on their life.
Mm-hmm.
And that hopefully with continued little conversations, you can keep building that readiness to change. Mm-hmm. And so they can build their strength and vulnerability.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess this is the personal, the personal part of the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. I love this podcast so much.
And it's funny that you bring that up, because not go too much into detail, but I had an experience last year with myself.
Mm-hmm.
Where I was going through a lot of mental health problems. And the one thing that, so my entire life, and it has nothing to do with like my parents or anything like that, I've always felt like a burden to people.
Mm-hmm.
So like it was, someone can tell me like I'm not a burden to them, but I would still feel that like burden to them. So when I would tell people about my story, I would immediately regret it, because I'm just like, I would regret it and I would feel embarrassed by it, because it's just in my mind, I'm like, you're going through issues in your own life. You don't need my problems too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the one thing that really helped me was two little black dogs that are in my house currently.
We love them.
Yeah. They helped me out more than...
Shout out to Yasuke and Layla.
Yeah. More than I could ever help them.
Okay.
But I think one thing is, when someone doesn't want to talk, still letting them know that you're there.
Yeah.
When they, for anything, even if it's just to go work out together or something like that, I think it's very, very important. Mm-hmm. Because, like I said, like, when you've had that feeling of embarrassment of telling your story, because first in your mind, you're just like, I'm too old to be thinking about this stuff. Like, why am I even, like, stressing on this stuff?
Sure.
And that leads to you telling someone, and you're just embarrassed. Because first off, they know what you're going through. And secondly, you're putting your burdens on them. And thirdly, like, in your head, you think that it's already embarrassing. So it's just like...
Yeah. Do you feel like it compounds?
Yeah, it's just like a compound thing.
Yeah.
And...
Does it make you feel weak?
It does. Yeah.
Yeah.
It does make you feel weak. It makes you feel really weak.
Being so being the other person in a scenario like that, a lesson that I learned the hard way was communicating that support,
right?
Like figuring out a way to let them know that not only are you there, but this is how you're showing up, and allowing them for them to tell you what they need to.
Right.
Like it's not about you, the helper. It's about that other person. Right. And so being able to say to them, how can I show up for you right now? Mm-hmm. Right. And allowing them space to tell you what they need or don't need. Cause I've been on both sides of this, and I feel like everyone in the room has too, where you thought you were doing the right thing, mm-hmm. right? Like you were trying so hard to be supportive of that person, and it's not how they needed you to show up.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is a true, that is a true struggle right there. Right. Because some people, like what you're like, you said, how can I show up for you today? Mm-hmm. And I love that question. And Brittany, you also said that earlier, like, what can I do right now to help? Mm-hmm. But then there's some people who are super independent, cannot ask for help, will not ask for help, and it don't matter if you're like, even like right now, like right now, can I give you water? Like,
you're like, no, I'm fine.
I'm fine. Yeah, exactly. No. So I've known people that sometimes it just takes, I'm not saying like cross a boundary with them or do something that could be considered inappropriate as far as help, mm-hmm. but do something small, like just I don't know, bring them a donut.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're not diabetic, I guess. But again, figuring that out, like just doing something. Mm-hmm. Like some people just, they've struggled alone for so long that they'll tell you no.
Yeah.
But in reality, they're just looking for a little something.
Right.
Little something.
Or maybe they don't have the bandwidth to actually know what they need.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. Right. Yeah. Yes.
It's just like, they know that something's off, but they're like, they couldn't tell you. And then we've also compounded that heaviness. I can only liken it to like an elephant sitting on your chest, but like compounding that weight by having them like critically analyze, oh, what do I need right now? Mm-hmm. Like kind of, it's counterintuitive. Right. And I only mention that because there are so many of us that are well-meaning and well-intentioned and maybe didn't react the right way, right?
Yeah.
And then just being able to be accountable and self-actualized too. So when we're thinking about in all the ways that like we're checking in with ourselves for our own mental health, when you're also that other person, also being able to look within and be like, did I do this for me or did I do that for the other mm-hmm. person, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, that's so a big one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, did I show up for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To make myself feel better.
Yeah. 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 Gut check.
I was thinking about Brittany's training, the suicide prevention training, and how she said, like, when you go up and we have just these normal casual conversations, like, how are you doing today? Mm-hmm. How are you? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you said that when they say I'm fine or good or whatever, like, do you just walk away?
Yeah.
Because
right.
We're all expecting the answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We've already trained over
there. It's like, okay. Do I really want to know? Like, mm-hmm. you know, and you have to be, you know, in showing up in that genuine way, yeah. having that body language, having that organic conversation, letting them know, like, this is more than just a, mm-hmm. hey, how are you? Mm-hmm. Okay, have a good day. Bye.
Yeah.
The nurse side of me, too, is you leave room to be uncomfortable with the silence.
Yeah.
That's hard sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
That's hard sometimes.
A lot of us want to feel that, though. But, like, see, Haley, when you're sharing that story, though, right? Like, you're sharing that with us, and I can already see, like, all those feelings like rushing back in like real time and you feeling it all over again, right? Right. And there's a really good book that I read called Soundtracks. And it's talking about like how you've trained your brain to think and do and see and right. Mm-hmm. And so that soundtrack is going to keep playing right until you take the record off.
Right.
Right. And you've got to take that record off. Right. Because how you're internalizing things and how you're feeling, is that your truth? Oh, man, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But like, is that my truth or Sammy's truth or Brianna's truth? Like if you would have come to any of us, or probably some other great friends that you have here, mm-hmm. would anybody have felt that you were being a burden on them? No way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? But, like, that's how you feel, right? Yeah. And that is your truth.
Yeah.
And then you start kind of going down this
the rabbit
winding rabbit hole, right? And then it gets harder to get out, right? Mm-hmm. And then you just start compiling. Then the elephant's sitting on your chest. Mm-hmm. And, oh, my gosh, now I can't breathe. Now I notice the physical stuff. Wait, what's happening, right? Because of all this, but... if I just approach somebody and I'm okay with just being quiet.
Yeah.
Right.
Sometimes it's just good to sit.
It is. It's okay. Like, we want connections. There's people who are not type A's. They are not outgoing. They're not, right? Like, they don't want to be blah, blah, right? So I'm not that person. I want to, right? I want to talk to all the people and do all the things. But for people who don't want to do that, that doesn't mean that they don't require connections.
Exactly. Yes, perfect. Yeah.
And the connection is just... Sammy and I are just sitting here.
Yeah.
Right? You have that relationship where you've had in the past.
Yeah.
We're just sitting. We don't have to say anything. We don't have to do anything.
But it's still very powerful.
Yes.
You're still very powerful. Yeah, you're absolutely. There. And you're there.
Yeah. So I think that's huge, right? Is to get out of our own way.
Yeah.
100%.
Right? Exactly.
And that takes you full circle to what Brianna was saying anyway about our own self-worth and resiliency. Like, how do you grow that? And how are you aware of that? Man. Stop playing the soundtrack.
I feel like the most important thing is, so I know with me, the biggest bully in the entire world is me.
It's yourself.
It's yourself. Stop being your own bully.
Yeah. That's and good. I mean, it's easy for us to articulate that, but my goodness.
Yeah, it's hard to put in practice.
And when it comes to the human brain, a lot of times we're trained. We're trained, whether intentionally or unintentionally, on how to see ourselves.
Right.
So you talk about feeling like a burden most of your life. Somewhere, somehow, you were made to feel that way. And that became your inner voice. Mm-hmm. How do we change that inner voice?
Right. Mm-hmm.
How do we start working to change it? You know, positive affirmations every day. Like, you know, those sound kind of cliche, but really talking. And again, you talked about that in your suicide prevention training. Like, gas yourself up a little bit every day. Look in the mirror. I think you were talking about your son doing that.
Yeah, be a 15-year-old teenage boy.
Right. Work to change. To change that inner voice.
Yeah.
Because here's the great news about it. Like, also, you know, you're not born with that negative voice. Mm-hmm. So what that says is that if I'm trained a certain way to feel this way about myself, guess what? I can flip that.
Yes.
Just like a muscle, I can alter it.
Yes.
I have the power now, especially as an adult. I have the power now to work to change that inner voice. Is it hard? I work on it every day.
Exactly.
Every day.
Yep.
And I think that that's part of the journey too, is that acceptance that sometimes these struggles go on for a while, but every day we work to get better.
Right.
Every day.
Right.
And for myself, there's things that I'll probably struggle with lifelong.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I accept that and I work to manage that the very best that I can every day intentionally.
Right.
Intentionally.
Right.
Awesome.
So I know we can talk about this for probably another hour.
Forever.
So.
Can we have a part two?
Yeah. I mean, if we need to, we can do a part two. That's no problem at all. So I'll just close it out right now. Do y'all have anything else you want to add?
Let's start with Captain Hype. That the good doctor can wrap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The good doctor. Okay. What do I want to add to this? I think I want to talk about mindset. Mm-hmm. See, I don't have a personal story, but there's something. Everybody has struggles growing up, right? And so the one thing that I've learned about life is if you've never experienced a distressful state, wow, you're so lucky. Also, it's coming.
Yeah.
So it is going to come. And so how do I prepare myself for that? And I use that in my class also, right? So I'm not going to like reiterate, you know, being a pilot or being a critical care nurse. And I'm thinking about the worst case scenario. Why am I doing that? To prepare myself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because then I get to respond to something that's happening to me and causing me distress
right.
instead of just react. When I react, I'm just, it's, you know, it's usually not thought out,
mm-hmm.
right? I haven't really made that decision of, I'm just making, oh, it's very harsh, very rash, mm-hmm. right? And so I think if we can approach whatever it is, even if it's this podcast, if it's a new book, if it's getting outside your comfort zone, if it's being vulnerable because you recognize now that it's strength.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, right, to approach it with a growth mindset instead of a fixed mindset.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's what I think we all should be striving for. If you can approach anything with a growth mindset of, mm-hmm. right, I'm going to take something positive from this. I'm going to learn something from this, right? Something about this day is going to impact me for the future, or it's going to impact my children, or it's going to impact the people I supervise, or mm-hmm. it's going to impact a coworker.
Mm-hmm.
Something about this day, whether I'm going through something negative,
mm-hmm.
can still have a positive influence on those people around me.
Absolutely.
Right? Mm-hmm. But that fixed mindset is where a lot of us kind of stay, right? And why are we in that fixed mindset, though? That's a question internally you have to ask, but really I think we're in that because we've come accustomed to it.
Mm.
It's raining outside. Or how about this one? Man, it's sunny. Got to be drill weekend.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, this is the most beautiful weekend we've had all month. It's probably drill weekend, right? Yeah. No, go into it, though. Man, that's so awesome. I get to go out there and work on airplanes. I don't have to get rained on. I'm not in the snow, right?
I love that.
That's your growth mindset, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Instead of that fixed mindset, right? And the reason that those are so important, which, you know, hopefully, you know, you'll touch on this, or I think you and I have had conversations, Brianna, but the same reason why people like working out, right? The endorphins that are released, mm-hmm. the dopamine inside the brain, the connections that are happening within your whole body, right? The neurotransmitters that are talking to each other. Growth mindset does the same thing for you that working out does.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
It's just huge. Right. So I'm going to leave on that note and I'll throw it over to Sammy. And then that's all.
Yeah. I love that so much. I think, gosh, so much of this conversation just hit different, but I think that one of the big things that I want to do first and foremost is to like thank everyone in the room for just showing up the way you did, right? And just being willing to broach a topic that for some people hurts, right? And just and showing up authentically, which ultimately leads to what I think I want folks to take away from the conversation, which is empathy and respect. Mm-hmm. It costs absolutely nothing to show up that way, mm-hmm. right? Just to hold space for the people that you interact with, that you engage with, and that is an act of kindness in and of itself, right? It's a love language, if you will, because you are not only showing up and being very present. And again, present is probably where I want to double down on, but mm-hmm. allowing for that individual to be present as well. And leading that way, right? Leading with empathy and respect shifts the whole vibe and the whole culture
right.
of where we're sitting right now. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of what we're discussing today and how we can perpetuate this in this space that we exist in is to really set that tone and commit to creating a completely different culture here in our little corner of the military and the DOD, but then taking that to our communities overall.
Wow. Why am I last? Like, following up after y'all two?
Hey, this is all for you.
Following up after you, y'all, ma'am. Like, I can't.
This is all for you.
We love you. Yeah, I mean, my goodness, I'm in a room with just some top-notch people.
We feel the same way about you,
exactly.
though.
And Dawana, I really wanted to say thank you for sharing what you shared.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, to go back to what Brittany said, like, we felt your passion. We felt your feelings when you talked about that. Mm-hmm. And again, I know the strength that it mm-hmm. took. I know the strength that it took to be able to share that with the world, essentially.
Right.
And, you know, I just really wanted to say thank you for that. And then on a different note, me being the new DPH, like I'm working to go around and to as many areas as I'm welcomed and have those organic conversations. I'm not saying like come up here and let me diagnose you.
Yeah.
let me treat you, you know. No, absolutely not. Like, I just want to come and say hi, get to know everybody, as you all have said, from your perspectives as the experts, being service members, like, that's what you would like, is just somebody to care and reach out and come say hi. And so that I'm working to do that. But if anybody ever does need or want to come and see me, I'm up at building 145. And everybody knows Beth Melton, so I'm going to name drop her and be like, that's, I'm in the building with Beth Melton. Yeah. Cause she's, low key, the big legend around here. So yeah, I just want to invite, if anybody needs anything. And lastly, to say, like what Brittany said about some people just don't want to talk to the DPH, and I respect that. Going back to the respect, I respect that. If mm-hmm. you are truly like recognizing some symptoms and wanting help, but you're like, I'm not doing that on base. Like, I'm just not. And that's your hard line. I'm cool with that. You know, come see me and we'll get you some resources in the civilian world. My goal is just, to be of some sort of service to you all as the service members. So if you don't want to have a conversation with me, that's cool. Let's figure out where and how we can guide you in the right direction. Right. And lastly, just thank you for having me. This has just been so exciting and wonderful.
It's been a really fun and good conversation.
Yes, it has.
Yeah. It's a way to spend a day at work.
Exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, this is nice. Yeah, absolutely.
Take us out.
So, one thing that I will say, and I've always wanted to do this, one of my favorite songs is Slippin' by DMX.
I love some DMX.
At the beginning of this song, he quotes Friedrich Nietzsche, and he says, to live is to suffer, but to survive is to find meaning in the suffering. Oh. So, I guess my plea to everyone is survive.
Yeah.
Survive.
Yeah.
And with that,
are we going out on the DMX
we're
song?
We're going out on the DMX song. Yeah, we are. Way to wrap it, LT.
And that's me.
Yeah. No, man, I love it. And
that's with so that, good. That's all we have.
That's
thank
the
you for
drop.
Joining us.
Thanks.
And that'll do it for the drop. For more information about the 130th Airlift Wing, visit us on the web at www.130aw.ang.af.mil. Additionally, you can find us on all major social media platforms. Lastly, you can see us in the skies delivering freedom with courage. This is Second Lieutenant DeJuan Haley reminding you to stay ready to go.